From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the second day of November 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll discuss the commodity markets with TGM's Greg Johnson, hear from University of Illinois Extension agricultural economist Gary Schnitke about nitrogen applications fall or spring, and then we'll close out the time together by taking up the weather forecast with Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
No numbers from the CME Group in Chicago as I'm traveling today. We'll talk a little bit more about that after we speak with Greg Johnson. He is at TGM, that's Total Grain Marketing here in Champaign County. Hi, Greg. Thank you so much for joining us. Tell me about what's happened in the futures market, and then we'll take a look at the cash basis as well.
Well, the futures market is responding to the rumors out of both Russia and China. Yesterday, with the weekend attacks from Ukraine on some Russian vessels, there was fear that Russia would pull out or stop the shipping agreement whereby ships could leave the Ukraine and transport grain. So that got the market sharply higher. Overnight, Russia seems to say that they will allow the agreement to continue. So definitely some uncertainty about whether that continues on or not past the 19th, I think, of November is the when the original agreement runs out, and hopefully it gets extended past that. So that's one thing. The other thing out of China, there were some rumors yesterday that China was going to ease restrictions on their zero tolerance COVID policy, get the economy back up and running a little bit more robustly. But today they shut down, or overnight, I guess they shut down another city. And so that zero tolerance policy seems to still be in effect. And so that that had a dampening effect on the futures market overnight as well.
Yeah, and the dampening effect comes because of the zero tolerance, meaning much of what would have happened here or did happen here when we shut down for 2 weeks. That really slows the economy really quickly, meaning that they wouldn't have need to buy soybeans from the U.S. because they wouldn't have the economy that was chugging along pretty quickly, I take it.
Exactly. That's exactly right. You know, less people going to work, less travel, so, you know, less demand for commodities of all kinds, not just crude oil and precious metals, industrial metals, but also the corn, soybeans, and wheat as well.
I traveled from Champaign County this morning all the way through Rockford today. And in fact, as we're talking just before the noon hour, I'm just north of the border on the Wisconsin side. There were precious few combines running today, and that wasn't because of the wet weather. There just isn't much left to shuck or combine either one here in the state of Illinois. That's the case, I believe, in your total draw area. Is that right?
Yeah, the NAS had Illinois 65% harvested on corn as of Sunday. That's probably closer to 80% now. So the good news is we're down to the final 20% on corn, and probably beans were 90-some percent done, all but the double crop beans done on for soybeans. But that last finding a home for that last 20% may be an issue. We've had lots of elevators, hearing lots of elevators closing down early, closing all day, waiting for trains, that type of thing. So right now, we haven't seen a lot of issues yet, but we've still got 20% of the corn harvest to finish out. And, you know, hopefully we can find room for everything, but that's going to be a major concern here over the next week to 10 days.
Usually after we get past the 50% point, folks think that the glut probably has managed to get through. Do you think this is going to be an issue for how long? A week, 2 weeks, a month? How much time?
Yeah, well, and then we haven't talked about the rail strike. Now, that shouldn't happen until, I think, November 19th at the earliest. So hopefully we'll be done with harvest by then. The other thing that's really exacerbated the problem is the weather. The weather has been so darn good in October that it's just the sheer amount of volume that's been able to come into the elevators has not allowed them to move that out to other facilities that can load out by rail. So it's kind of a combination of a fast harvest and just just not being able to get rid of it as quick. The train service has not been any better than what we unfortunately were hoping for. So, lack of trains and a fast input on the grain side from the farmers due to the weather. I think that has really that combination has really caused space to be an issue. And we're hearing, like I say, of elevators, basically from here on east into Indiana, that are, tight, closed down for partials of a day. And, and that could continue, I think, for the last 20% of harvest.
Well, it seems November the 19th is a pretty important day. The Black Sea Agreement is expected to end. Don't know what Russia will do after that. Labor agreement here in the United States with the railway workers needs to be put in place by then, or a strike may not be averted. And of course, on the 19th of November, President Abraham Lincoln made his very famous Gettysburg Address. After we get past that date, through the end of the year, what are your expectations?
I think we'll have a better idea. We'll have another monthly supply and demand report out of USDA. If, as I anticipate from what we hear from traders across the country, the corn yield comes down one more time, I think farmers will be bulled up. They seem to be content, patient to wait for $7 cash corn. We're about 20 cents away from that. At least we were before today. Now we're probably about 30 cents away from that. But farmers seem to be patient and willing to wait for $7 cash corn. So beans, on the other hand, the yields were good. And with South America off to a good start, I think farmers are a little bit more willing to sell beans on a rally, whereas corn, I think they're going to be content to wait and see if they can get their price maybe sometime in December or January.
Do they have a price in mind for a rally, or is it just any rally?
No, I think $7. It's that magical $7 cash corn. So if you figure kind of a typical 10 under basis, you will probably need to get the futures to 710, 715, somewhere in that range. But I think if a farmer can get $7 corn cash, I think he will let some go. Probably should. I mean,
Do they have a number in mind for soybean?
Yeah, we've already passed it. I think $14. We've been buying beans ever since we hit $14 cash. And, they're going to sell those beans on a scale up basis. I think, 14, 14 and a quarter, 14 and a half, every 25 cents. I think farmers are willing to let a few more beans go.
All right. Hey, thank you much.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with TotalGrainMarketing.com. Have you signed up yet for the Farm Assets Conference at farmassetsconference.com or at willag.org? I hope so, but if not, do it right now. The cost is $80 if you pre-register, $85 if you do it by phone, and $90 if you walk in for this event that happens the 21st day of November at the I Hotel right here in Champaign, just to the south of the State Farm Center, the Assembly Hall. This is the first in a series of Farm Doc Team Winter Meetings. Now, you're used to seeing the Illinois Farm Economic Summits in the month of December. Those have moved. They'll be in January now. The kickoff event really is the Farm Assets Conference. The whole of the Farm Doc team will be there, along with the crop scientist from the University of Illinois and four of the brokers who graduated from the U of I Ag Econ Department. Should be a fantastic day. I have also checked. Josh Linville will be in from StoneX to talk about fertilizer prices, as well as Mary Kay Thatcher from Syngenta when we take up agricultural policy. You'll want to be there as well. It's the farmassetconference.com, farmassetsconference.com, to get yourself registered today. Gary Schnitke will be along with us for all of the events this winter. And if you want to see that whole event section that belongs to the Farm Doc team, including the Farm Assets Conference and the All Day Ag Outlook, you can at their website, farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Look under webinars and upcoming. The whole list is there. This week, however, there is a webinar still coming up on Thursday where Gary Schnitke will take up nitrogen applications and the economics of them and applying nitrogen this fall or next spring. He's leaning towards next spring. You'll hear that in just a moment. We'll also hear from Gary on Friday of this week, the webinar that he hosted last week about farmland leases and their importance and the four different types of them. He and Luke Worrell, who will be at the Farm Assets Conference, discuss that for an hour. I thought it was a really good program, and because I'm headed north today, I'm in Rockford, as you know already, on my way to see Jackie Vakes to help she and Jeff remodel a home they purchased for their retirement, I thought it might be worthwhile to run the whole of that webinar, or most of it, on Friday, because we have the whole hour here for Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. You can hear it on air Friday afternoon at WILL and on this radio station, or online Thursday evening in both the Commodity Week and the Closing Market Report podcast feeds. Now, Gary is here at this point to talk about those farmland leases and the nitrogen. Let's start with the farmland leases that you discussed last week. Why'd you take it up? Because this appears to be pretty important, and there are four different types.
Yeah, so whenever we do these webinars, one of the requests is just going over leasing arrangements. And so we went in detail, took the four basic leasing arrangements that exist in Illinois and Midwest states, and described them and discussed the pros and the cons of each one of those. So, and that would include the share rent, the cash rent, the variable cash rent, and the custom farming arrangement. So that webinar and what you'll be hearing there is just a discussion of what myself, Luke Worrell, a professional farm manager, sees with the use of each one of those leasing arrangements.
Again, Friday afternoon, you'll hear the audio from that webinar right here on Illinois Public Media. It will also be in the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week podcast this week, and up online at willag.org on Thursday evening. Now, tomorrow, folks can join the webinar that's about nitrogen. They can do that at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Look for webinars. Can you tell me a little bit about what you'll discuss? Is it related to nitrogen?
Yeah, we will be looking at nitrogen applications, thinking about this fall and next spring. Obviously, we've seen a lot of volatility in prices. A lot of that has to do with the Ukraine-Russia situation, and we will be discussing the supply demand and have a farmer and a supplier on talking about what you might think about as we're going through this season currently.
In detail then, what variables need to be explored?
Yeah, so if you're applying obviously if we're thinking about fall application, whether you purchased or not makes a bigger deal than one might have thought. It was $1,100 per ton for anhydrous ammonia in September, and now it's well above that. But rates, and then how much do you want to apply later on in spring? And one of the things that you may want to think about, or farmers may want to think about, is applying less in the fall, particularly if they haven't priced that nitrogen yet, and moving some of those applications into the spring. That obviously then leads into concerns about what the price and availability of nitrogen will be in the spring, and we will pontificate over those issues.
What kinds of data do you draw on to make those pontifications?
Yeah, so typically, you know, this year is different because of where we're at on the nitrogen side. And again, this year, my personal belief is that we won't have an availability problem, but we could have different prices than we do now. On the upside, we could have higher prices if things go worse in the Ukraine-Russia situation. That could lead to higher priced nitrogen in the spring. On the other hand, we are seeing natural gas prices decline rather substantially, not right now. And if things continue to be normal, or more normal, we could actually see those nitrogen prices decline. That also, nitrogen prices are highly related to corn prices, and we will see where those go as well.
Hey, thank you, and I wish I could be there tomorrow, but as you know, we're both traveling. You're in Chicago, and I'm headed north of Green Bay to help Jackie Vakes and her husband, Jeff, complete an addition to their home.
So you'll be laboring, huh?
Yeah, I will be laboring, that's true. Helping them out with that addition. Again, thank you, Gary, for...
Don't get too sore.
I'll try not to. Appreciate that too. Hey, thank you for being with us today, and good luck tomorrow with the webinar.
we're looking forward to that event.
Gary Schnitke is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can sign up for the FarmDoc Daily webinar now if you'd like at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Look in the webinar section under upcoming, and right there, if you just follow all those links, you'll also find a way to sign up for the Farm Assets Conference, or you can go to farmassetsconference.com or willag.org. Let's check the weather forecast now with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hi, Drew. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you. I hope you're having a good day.
I am. It's a beautiful day, in fact. We may talk a little bit about that here in just a bit in the United States. However, I want to turn your attention southward to South America. Can you begin in Brazil? Discuss conditions there at this point. I think southern Brazil may be in some trouble. And then we can talk about Argentina, too.
Yeah, you know, most of Brazil, first of all, we should step back and look at the big picture. If you take a look at percent of normal rainfall for the last 30 days or even 45 days, it's pretty obvious that places like Rio Grande do Sul and parts of Paraguay, southwestern Paraguay, into Argentina's east has been quite a bit drier than usual. But, you know, one of the things that has really helped that from being a problem is the fact that temperatures have been cooler than usual across a large part of South America throughout the spring so far. And that has helped to conserve moisture. And if you take a look at soil moisture assessments for the southern part of Brazil, in that area of Rio Grande do Sul and neighboring areas of eastern Argentina, it isn't quite as dry as you might think it should be. Certainly not in Rio Grande do Sul. And the crops there are not seriously stressed at the moment, even though the rainfall has been well below normal. And a little farther to the north, we've seen some erratic rains across portions of Mato Grosso and Goiás in particular. And those two states, of course, are a little bit more important for getting that early soybean crop in the ground. Well, the soybean planting is moving along at a fairly good clip, fairly normal up in those areas. But there is a need for moisture in order to support the best emergence and establishment. And we are just now going into a seven-day period of dry weather from Mato Grosso through Mato Grosso do Sul and parts of Sao Paulo down to Rio Grande do Sul. So as we go forward through this seven-day period, it will be cooler, biased for the first half of that period and then getting back to near normal after that. We will further deplete soil moisture in some of that region. And so the need for rain in the second week of the outlook and beyond is going to be extremely important just to help make sure that we're not going to have a problem with persistent dryness. Now, it's really only Mato Grosso do Sul and Goiás that I'm more concerned with at the moment. Rio Grande do Sul will definitely stand out later this month. But for the near term, it's really about Mato Grosso and Goiás, and we need to get better rains in there. But we'll have to wait 7 days. They'll get some. It doesn't look real abundant until we get into the second half of the month, and then we'll do a little bit better with the rain distribution.
Are we close enough to that second half of the month to have a good idea yet of whether there will be a change in the pattern that will bring more rainfall?
Well, I think that there will be. You know, in South America and Brazil in particular, this is the time of the year that the monsoon season kicks in, and it's hard to stop monsoonal flow from occurring. Even in the U.S., when we have monsoon rainfalls, they're usually fairly consistent. Now, we do have some years in which the rainfall is poorer than others, and the same thing can happen in Brazil. But Brazil's monsoon is much stronger than that in the U.S., and so the odds of us going into a dry, persistent dry weather pattern and across Brazil's key crop areas during the summer season is fairly low. Now, we've done it before where we've had below average precipitation, but this is still a La Nina year, and rainfall is usually even more abundant and more likely to occur while La Nina is playing out. So for that reason, I would find big doubts that we would see this drier tendency perpetuated for very long in Mato Grosso and Goiás, and that seasonal rains will come back. Now, western Mato Grosso and parts of northwestern Mato Grosso to Sol may have a little bit more of a tough time getting the rains to return, but they will, I think, to some degree. And then the focus of attention will be on the southern areas, like I said, as we go forward through this month. Rio Grande, Santa Catarina, neighboring areas of Argentina and Paraguay will have a drier bias still prevailing really into December. And so they will possibly have the more likely problem with moisture shortages.
The further south you go in South America, of course, the later the growing season begins. What kind of issues does Argentina have at the moment?
Yeah, Argentina is still dealing with some moisture shortages, but we did get some rain in the past week or so, and it was enough to bolster topsoil moisture from Cordoba into the heart of Buenos Aires. And that's a very important summer crop region and an important winter grain production area, too. And so the crop moisture in that area has temporarily improved. But we are also in a seven-day period of dry weather for Argentina, and their temperatures are likely to turn warmer than normal as we go forward through this next 5 or 6 days. And the earliest opportunity for rain returning to Argentina will be about this time next week. And when it does return, it is going to be erratic, and we're still going to be limiting the rains in the eastern part of the country. So Argentina is still going to have some ongoing issue about drier than normal conditions and pockets of limited soil moisture. So they are certainly not off the chart as far as watching for problems as we move down the road. I do think that when La Nina starts to weaken in an accelerated manner, which will be in December and January, that we will have a better opportunity for getting timely rains in Argentina in all of the summer crop areas, even though the rain amounts could be lighter than usual. And timeliness is probably much more important than the volume of rain if they want to have a decent crop.
On the note of rainfall, I know that in Australia, we'll stay in the southern hemisphere, the wheat crop there was expected to be very good, and then the rain started to come. They subsided for a while. Are they still having issues?
We've got one more storm system that's impacting eastern Australia as we speak here. And it will continue for another day, and then we will go through 7 days of drying there, too. And they've already had a little bit of a break from the more persistent and more significant rains that were plaguing that area for weeks. Earlier in late October, we did see a decline in some of the rain amounts in the last week of the month. With the return of drier weather in the coming week, I think that we will see some timely improvement. Now, they're harvesting now in parts of Queensland, Australia, which is the northeast part of their winter crop region. The rest of the nation is not ready for harvesting quite yet. It's been way too wet and too cool. So if this drier bias can hang in there and hold strongly on into the latter part of the month, we could see a return of better crop conditions. Now, there are issues. They have lost some yield potential, no doubt. But the big fear was that they were going to end up with feed grain quality, you know, wheat and barley. And with this change in the weather at the moment, I think that that could actually not happen if they can perpetuate the drier weather. A little bit of a downgrade has occurred. Low protein is still expected. But the crop won't be a total mess unless the rains return. And I do think that we will see some wetter bias conditions returning in late November. And if they continue into December, there could be a real problem with quality at the end of the growing season. But I think for right now, the crop is going to see improvement rather than a further deterioration.
Here in the United States, farmers across the Corn Belt are no longer really concerned about having to get the crop out, as most of it has been harvested, or a lot of it has been. They are, however, concerned about water levels and being able to move that crop into the export market. What can you tell us?
Yeah, we just released our 30 and 60 day outlooks for the U.S., and the Delta and the southeastern part of the country and a portion of the eastern Midwest are just not going to be seeing normal precipitation, certainly not in the first 30 days of the outlook. Certainly, the majority of that region will see below normal precipitation. When we get into December, we have a fairly good chance of seeing at least one relatively significant cold surge in the middle of the country that would help to stimulate a bigger storm potential for the eastern Midwest and the southeastern states. But it's only one opportunity that I see at the moment. And if that occurs, there will be some short-term benefit. But if it doesn't occur and we miss that one opportunity, we're going to continue with these dismally low water levels for an extended period of time, because I really don't see good volumes of moisture over these next several weeks. And until La Nina starts to weaken, we're pretty much stuck in this track, I think.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
You too, Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. The theme music for our program is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.